By my last 2 years at Mundelein, I was the head sacristan. There were many sacristans, but I was the head sacristan based on my seniority. It was my responsibility to make sure that things were properly set up for any liturgical event, whether we had mass or stations, or even when we prayed liturgy of the hours together. It was the sacristan's responsibility to make sure that things were in place and were there, and we had additional people to help us, but ultimately the few sacristans who were appointed were always the ones who got blamed if something went wrong. It's a simple enough job. It didn't require a great deal of time, but it was sensitive enough. We had to make sure we get it right when we were called upon. In addition to that, I was a computer tech on campus. I worked for Help Desk Computer Services at Mundelein. When there were needs for a computer fix, then we got called. If that were not enough, I'm glutton for punishment, I also agreed to be one of the snow removal prefects. So it was my job to make sure that other guys got out there and assisted me and removed snow from our section, which was about half the size of a football field. It was a lot of fun. Not always. It meant I had to get up at 3 a.m. every time it snowed in the morning and had to have the sidewalks clear by, about 5 a.m. And let me tell you, if you really don't like snow, it's really hard to convince someone else to get up and help you shovel it. I still love snow. I really do. I don't love being yelled at by other people because they don't like the fact that they had to help me remove it. But it is what it is. I still remember a particular weekend in my last year, and it was kind of a great coalescing of events all kind of coming together. I had been up late the night before, and it was a late Saturday, and Sunday morning was approaching, and I knew that Sunday evening I would be at a big youth group event with mass and everything, so I knew that if I was up late on Saturday trying to get some work done, it wasn't too bad because I would be busy all day Sunday evening and have my Sunday mass fulfilled then. However, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I received a phone call. Someone had stolen our salt from my section, and they wanted me to bring another bag. So I hauled a 50-pound bag of salt out to my section, only to discover that someone else had come along and actually given them a bag of salt, and now they needed a bag of salt. So I wandered around about a mile around campus trying to find who had taken the salt and where I needed to deposit my 50-pound bag. And after successfully pulling that one off, I managed to wander back to try and get some more sleep. Sure enough, as soon as I returned to my room, my phone rang. The sacristan had failed to show up. There was a special event going on in the chapel, and they needed someone to set up for mass, and they had never shown up. And so it was my fault because the other sacristan didn't show up, and so I needed to go out and set up for mass. It was supposed to start in about 4 minutes. So I got back up, and I went to the sacristy, and we set up for mass. We almost started on time, too. And I stayed for mass because I knew I'd have to take it all down and put it all away when it was done. And then I went back to bed thinking, I've done my exercise. I walked a mile carrying 50 pounds and I've been to mass. So now, surely, I could get a little bit of sleep. But before the head of the computer department had gone on his weekend, because he was not a seminarian, he was a paid employee of the campus, he had said to me, "By the way, on the other side of the campus, the usual tech who looks after any of the retreat needs for the seminary, she's out with surgery, so you need to go over any time they have a problem this weekend." Awesome. So after I returned to my room, sure enough, my phone was ringing once again. "We can't connect to the Wi-Fi. Could you come over?" "Oh, sure, I can walk all the way across campus. It's just what I wanted to do again this morning." So I got up and I headed over. By the time I arrived, they had successfully figured it out on their own, so I got to turn around and go back 2 more times. Sure enough, I made 3 trips to the other side of campus only to discover that they would fix the problem before I get there so that I could walk back so they could call me and ask me to come again. And why do I say this? Well, I love this letter from Timothy. There's this beautiful, beautiful statement. "Beloved, bear your share of the hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." You might think, what does the gospel have to do with computer services or a 50-pound bag of salt or other people failing to remember to show up and do their responsibilities? Well, I'll tell you very clearly that the responsibility of the gospel is evangelization at its very core. But just because we are called to evangelization does not mean that every time we are called to evangelization means sitting down and smiling at someone and saying, "Have you heard about Jesus, this guy who saved us?" Evangelization is everything that we do. Every action that we do ties back to our evangelization. Every time we respond to a call, every time we go out and we do something, we are living our faith and how we respond to that call. How we go out and do those things is part of that evangelization. Now, they could have called and told me that they didn't have their salt, and I could have told them where it was and made them go find it themselves. I could have told the people who were looking for a sacristan to just grab one of the other people who were standing there nearby, and I could have told them where they could find keys, and I could have told the people from computer services that if they try hard, they could figure it out on their own, and they really didn't need me. But the challenge was, is that that was what I was asked to do in that moment. And you may say, well, sure, you're living the gospel, you're seminarian, anything you do, or it was a reflection of that. And I say unto you, it is all of us. Every last one of us is challenged by this very reading to bear our share of the hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. There's a very powerful reminder to us that in everything that we do, and everything that we're called to be is part of bearing that share for the sake of the gospel. Whether that is being inconvenienced at any given hour, knowing full well that you'll never make that sleep back so that you can still try and go to that youth event that evening, or if it's as simple as some child has awoken early and is now throwing up in their bed and is now taking any precious sleep you have left away from you for that day. It is our share of the hardship for the gospel. It's everything from showing up to work on time to how we do our jobs to how we communicate what we want to do with the rest of our time at the end of the day. It actually is all part of that share of sharing the gospel. And it's a tricky thing sometimes. Sometimes it's a very tricky thing. We look at Jesus who took Peter, James, and John up to the side of the mountain and went up on the mountain, and there he's transfigured and he's with Moses and Elijah. I have no idea how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. I don't think they were wearing name tags, so it's not necessarily clear how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. It's not like they'd met them before. I mean, sure, they read about them. I've read about St. Peter. I don't think I could pick him out on a lineup. And yet there they were, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And of course, in my mind, I think that's not really the most, that is, in one sense, the most exciting company to keep. It's not necessarily the most exciting company to keep in another sense. Moses was constantly berated for always coming up short and not living up to the standards that the people wanted. Elijah was constantly being chased to be killed by the king of Israel, who wanted him dead because he constantly annoyed him. And there's Jesus. We all know where he ends up. And there he is. This calling to the life of the gospel. And where does it end? Well, it ends with hardship, difficulty, constantly needing God in everything that we do. It is a very powerful witness to all of us that if we are genuinely to live this life of holiness that we are called to, He saved us and called us to this holy life. If we are to live this, it is that genuine response that says that God never leaves us abandoned, and he always gives us the strength to succeed. But we do need to call on him for that strength. You know, there's that great phrase, God never gives you more than you can handle with his help. I hear a lot of people sort of drop that last part. God never gives you more than you can handle. And I kind of smile because it's not true. God never gives you more than you can handle with his help. Because if we try and do it on our own, we may fall. We're going to feel exhausted. We're going to feel burned out. We're going to feel tired. It's going to happen. But if we recognize that God never gives us more than we can handle with his help, then it is that powerful reminder to us that if we are to draw upon the strength of God, it is there that we succeed. That if we are to grow in holiness and respond to this calling of a holy life, we are to do it by bearing our share of the hardship of the gospel only by drawing on the strength of God. And there are times where we may not feel his strength. We may just feel genuinely exhausted, where we have to reach for something more. We may encounter, even within our lives, dryness in our prayer. We may not necessarily feel that God is close to us. It's in those moments that we have to strive for something deeper. Just as the plant to experience his drought must push their roots further down to find that water, we must dive deeper into that spiritual life if we are to draw upon the great fruitfulness that God wants of us. Because it's there that we find that strength to finish our tasks, to do those deeds, to bear that hardship for the sake of the gospel, and live for Christ Jesus.